The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend Edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, and Colton Stone. Find us on Twitter. Give us a follow, and with you the next couple of hours. The week that was, the week of Tim Miles being dismissed, spring football getting cranked back up, and the news has intensified about one, I don't know his middle name, but Frederik Hoiberg. Welcome to join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in this morning, as mentioned on Twitter. You can find us at Schmidt underscore radio, at Mark Skurs, and at Two Birds, One Stone, if you want to heckle Colton Stone in his St. Louis Cardinals hat. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Things got started off with Bill Moose and the press conference, and what happened Tuesday at 4 was preceded by the decision around 1 o'clock with Tim Miles and Bill Moose. Bill Moose moving on from Tim Miles, and here's what Bill had to say. Is Nebraska going in a different direction? You know that, and you're still waiting on an announcement sometime with who and when Nebraska's head coach will be announced.
The meeting was extremely cordial, relatively short. I talked and praised him for many things that he did. I love his passion, his energy, his charisma, his integrity. But in the end, I didn't feel that we were competing the way that I want our programs to compete in the Big Ten Conference. So we will begin the search for our new coach. Don't know how long that's going to take. I think we can attract top coaches to the University of Nebraska with what we have facility-wise, and certainly the infrastructure and such, and our passionate fan base, that we can move this program up to competing consistently in the Big Ten.
That's the Moose. And attract top talent is all capitals, all underlined, all bold. And you had Adrian Wojnarowski yesterday on Twitter. Discussions still ongoing. Our dear friend Lars Anderson, quote tweeting his tweet from about a week plus ago. It's still happening. So it was weird, man. As a Nebraska basketball fan, you want nice things. You have an arena. You have a practice facility. You have an amazing fan base. You have a wonderful spot in the rail yard to do basketball, to have just a killer atmosphere, to be different than most schools that don't have a history of basketball. What you're needing now, and what Bill Moose is in charge of doing, is finding that gets you over the hump, difference maker as head coach, attracting that top talent. And I still think it's going to be Hoiberg. And I just, the Wojnarowski tweet, and Colton and I talked about this a bit yesterday, you know, why was it out there that it's still ongoing? That was kind of the tone, the message. I think it's locked up. Didn't sound like it's locked up with Woj's tweet. So that gives some Nebraska fans pause. It could just be a different type of smoke.
It's very similar to Frost.
I think it's one last Hail Mary, perhaps. If it's info from Hoiberg's people, it might be one last little waft of smoke to the NBA. I'm moving this way. It's going to be done. I know I just said I think it's done, but I don't know. One last little flare signal. If you want me, you better come get me now.
Maybe. That's fair. It's this whole situation is so similar to how Scott Frost went down. Remember when it was like, hey, he's in the barn, Frost is the guy, Moose going after him, and then it was like, he might not come.
Well, you find out from the Orlando Sentinel that Frost had two contracts on his desk and he was torn.
Right. It's all part of the negotiations. Look, if I said it last week, if Moose pulls this off, you just think about the quality level of coach that you are bringing in at bat. There's been no parallel in Nebraska basketball history.
Nope.
Where did Barry Collier come from? He came from Butler. Before Butler was Butler.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of made Butler a... He set the table for Brad Stevens and company.
Barry made Butler good, relevant, and noteworthy.
Right.
Just like Tim Miles kind of brought Nebraska basketball back.
But no one had heard of him.
To a little relevancy.
No one had heard of the guy.
No, right? he made his name when he almost knocked off Florida in the NCAA tournament 19 years ago.
You're like, oh, okay, there's Barry Collier guy. Okay, he might be fine. And then Doc Sadler comes in. He didn't come straight from JUCO, did he?
No, he was at UTEP.
UTEP, that's right. But he was JUCO before that, then he went to UTEP.
Right, and he was crushing it at UTEP.
He was doing all right, yeah.
But he was with Billy Gillespie? Clyde?
Yep.
As they called him, and Clyde jumped to Kentucky.
But you know what I mean.
Fairly that didn't end well.
And then Tim Miles, you knew about a little bit here because
he had Nebraska kids, and he won at Colorado State. So he had, built up.
Right. A couple kids from Ralston. He had some other kid from right nearby there, Fremont, I want to say. Yep. And took that Colorado State. So he had a little bit. But these are not household names, right? There are very few people across the country that knew who he was. A lot of people know who Fred Hoiberg is.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people want Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, and in fact, most people, when they hear about this Nebraska job, are sort of like, what? Right? Like, outside of here, we know about the connections.
It's an attention getter because of what he's done and where he's been.
We know, hey, he grew up in the Midwest. Just, you know, he's already done it at Iowa State and all the connections with his family here. You totally get it. But outside of that, they're like, oh, why? I wonder why Hoiberg would look at that. Like, that's the level of guy that you're bringing in. It's a revolutionary time in Nebraska athletics. Here's the other parallel with Scott Frost. Frost is an offensive innovator. Cutting edge, right? Like, that is not a sleepy, predictable offense that's getting installed right now.
It's
going to
stress. It's going to stress you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to wear you out as a defense. And instead of dictating, you are going to be reacting.
And it's going to spark interest in recruits. And it has.
Can I dare say the F word? It's going to be a fun offense.
Great, good one.
It is a fun offense.
Okay. Hoiberg, the more you look into it, the more you looked at, listen to what his last three Iowa State teams averaged.
I know.
80, 83, and 80. 80,
yeah.
Right? Averaged in college. When Nebraska hit 80 any time in the last decade, you're like, damn!
There's been a few times.
Yeah. But hit 90, you're like, my goodness!
But it's not an average.
These dudes averaged 80 points a game their last 3 years. The kind of stuff that he runs on offense, I think, has been underestimated. They are early in the shot clock. They are letting it fly from three. They do a lot of that Golden State Warrior handoff stuff. It is an orchestrated system. It is a system. We, as Nebraska basketball fans, have not ever seen that. Between Sadler and Miles, you're talking about I hate to put it in these terms, but two of the worst offensive coaches that you could have.
It was tough.
They had no idea what was going on offense. They're just like, hey, you got the ball, go score the thing. With Hoiberg, it's like, no. We're going to run this. They have so many set plays. They really value the three. They wanted to get the shot up early. They apply a ton of pressure. It is, ball movement, man. Like, we've talked about that, too. Like, the lack of ball movement has been just... These guys will zip the ball. You will have four guys touch the ball in 4 seconds.
And find a pass, find a shot. It's
yeah,
good.
They are zipping that thing around. It would be fantastic to watch.
What you have to, and please read Jacob Padilla's really cool story that posted last night on HailVarsity.com. Got to give Jacob a shout-out. Padding the stats, what's next for Nebraska basketball? He dives into those teams that have achieved at a pretty high level and been pretty consistent. Iowa will go up and down from time to time, but you saw how they kind of build, and they're good. They'll find kids like Bohannon. They'll get a kid like Cook. They've got the Moss kid. So Iowa's kind of got their style when it comes to recruiting and development. Purdue, they've got a great history. But still, they found a dude like Carson Edwards that was overlooked at 6'1", and he's been a difference maker. They always find big dudes that can patrol the paint. And you look at Nebraska here, to your point, Mark, about just how inconsistent to the word I think of as a liability. Their shooting has been the liability. It's not necessarily that the offense is a bad offense. It's just that they don't have dudes that are consistently going to make shots for you. It's got to be an on game, a good game. It's been more volume scoring than efficient scoring.
Your offense has to fit your personnel.
Right.
And personnel has been an issue, too. It's been a revolving door.
They've had good personnel, but does that personnel, are their strengths for this offense? Are they good ball players? Or are they good shooters?
Well,
right?
And here's what you ask. Are they a good fit? Mm-hmm. Right? And then you ask, well, a fit for what? What are you trying to fit?
Right.
Nebraska has had good individual basketball talent in Lincoln. No question about it. No question. But what were they trying to even do or build in the first place?
They were just trying to win. Right, get athletes, get talent, but what's their identity? Frost now has an identity. Hoiberg, when he's announced, if he's announced, will have an identity. They're going to score points. They've been, at his time in Iowa State, per Jacob's article, a top 29 offense every year. What was their average recruiting ranking? Well, they were top 70. He wasn't top 20, top 25. Guess what? He found a way to win. Yeah. With transfers, with JUCOs, guys that you didn't hear of, didn't know a lot about.
Right.
But when push came to shove, they came into the Hoiberg offense, performed.
There you go. Plug them into the system as a fit because he knows exactly what he's trying. It's why it didn't work out in Chicago. Right?
Right, because he's got the Thibodeau roster.
Yeah.
Of big dudes, throw it down. They are not up and down tempo with Thibodeau.
It's not a nice to have, where with Nebraska, it's sort of like, oh, it'd be good to get a shooter. No, like, you better be a shooter if you're going to play for Hoiberg. Mm. He's going to have shooters. He's not going to have one, right? He's not going to have two. He's going to have, like, four or five shooters. That's his thing. And then he wants long, lean, athletic bigs. That's what he wants.
And he wants size. I mean, you got to be 6'9", 6'10". Yeah. He'll have a couple, three dudes like that.
Yeah, he doesn't want stationary trees.
No.
When he's getting rebounds, he expects his posts to sprint, not just run down the floor, sprint down the floor, get under the hoop on a lot of their sets, mm-hmm. a lot of the things that they do after a defensive rebound. I mean, it is they're saying they're going to be the Golden State Warriors is, you know, feels a little ridiculous, but I mean, really, the style is awfully similar. It really is. You watch Golden State rebound, those dudes are up the floor quick.
You know the difference?
They are up the floor, and then they're spreading the floor. Then they're zipping the ball around, and someone's gunning a three.
And they're making the three.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It helps.
That's huge.
But that's the style. And so when Moose was talking about what style does he want at that press conference?
Three-pointers, tempo.
He's like, he's light up the scoreboard.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that would be great.
And you win a lot in the Big Ten. When I think of the Big Ten Conference, I think of defense, but I think of adaptability.
Yeah.
Like Michigan got locked up by Texas Tech. Texas Tech's that good. Their identity is their defense. They're going to grind you up.
Yep.
They're going to get shots in the paint. Michigan just not as strong this year. But I look at Sparty last night, My God, Michigan State can play any style of ball that you want.
Yep.
They can go big.
They're just
they can
sturdy.
Get tempo. They have shooters.
Yep.
And they are blue collar. I mean, they are.
Yep.
I think they may knock off Duke the way Duke's been teetering.
Yeah.
But man, it's been a little. Have you wavered at all this week on if Fred's coming?
No, I'm at like 80% that it's happening.
Sure.
And it's remained that way. It's remained that way.
The Woj thing, it shouldn't scare you, but either Woj is trying to stay in the loop that, yeah, he's still connected, or Hoiberg's representatives are negotiating. The name you need to listen for as well is Matt Abdelmassi. He's the assistant for Chris Mullin at St. John's, was the assistant for Fred at Iowa State, worked with him with the Timberwolves in the front office.
Yep.
He is the king of the transfer recruit.
Transfer whisperer.
And that is special. And let's be straight. Fred got guys, we'll take calls here in a minute, to come in while at Iowa State and just do their thing. They weren't a headache. There wasn't any drop-off second year. You want to get to the league? Listen to me. Let's play as a team. Nebraska had hits. Great hits with transfers. But from a consistency standpoint, he had a good year and then an off year.
And they didn't want to stick around.
And I'm thinking, because you have your own agenda. Let me land in Lincoln, let me be the man, and then let me go off to the league.
Probably part of that. But, I mean, Pitchford, he just, I'm done with basketball. Well, maybe not. Actually, I'm just done with this program.
Mm-hmm. Well, Walt was so huge as a stretch.
Andrew White
was big. Pettaway and of course,
Palmer. Michael Jacobson.
Palmer, right? I mean, both those guys followed up with a second year, but the second year was off.
You didn't have an identity here, man. You couldn't keep anybody.
No, Tom's with us on Hail Varsity this morning. Tom, good morning. Thanks for calling, bud.
Hey, you bet. Morning, guys. My take on the Hoiberg/Altman thing is Altman might have found out that he wasn't first on the list, so he re-upped with Oregon, and with the transfers, it's strange that somebody like Trueblood and Borkhart stick it out for 4 years, while the handful that have started have left. That just kind of tells me that those guys were prima donnas to begin with, even though Jacobson could have went to Iowa State to play on a football scholarship, but he couldn't take setting the bench when Copeland coming in. That's all I've got. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. I don't know if Moose says he didn't reach out to Dana. I guess I'll take his word for it. I would think you'd reach out to Dana, but
yeah.
Clearly that's what he said after his press conference to a media pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never checked in with Dana. I thought that's the guy you go look at. With some of the transfers, it's different. Not every kid's going to take his ball and leave elsewhere because he just is afraid to compete or he's pouting. I think you see a situation with Jacobson where, yeah, he transferred and he felt free to play because he averaged almost 14.5 a game at Iowa State. What were his minutes and playing time going to be like when you bring in a Copeland? You have Roby factored in there. And they ended up leaving and playing the same spot. That's a head-scratcher. So maybe it was more about personality conflict. And I'm speculating. I don't know this. But maybe they thought they'd get – him and Morrow thought they'd get better development somewhere else. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Not every kid's just a selfish two-year-old when they leave. They got to figure out if it's a fit or not. And if the grass is greener.
There's a prima donna nature to just about every basketball player in some way. Just about every athlete in some way.
Well, you got to have a little bit of that in your DNA.
There's a little bit of that. But you will commit to something you believe in, right?
Well,
how many guys commit to a program?
How many guys, like, you look at Roby and Jacobson, right? I mean, they have moonlighted as a 4 and a 5, okay? And Roby plays a hell of a lot better when he's at a 4.
Mm-hmm.
He's not thinking as much about passing the ball, rebounding, setting screens. You have a different mindset if you're going to be the post guy versus the 4. When you see Roby playing the 4, he goes for 28 against Butler.
Yeah.
So it comes down to roster construction and depth, and Nebraska was sorely lacking in that. And
but it's because you couldn't keep the players because you didn't – like what – the identity thing. That's the other thing that comes back to the parallels with Frost, right? Is
he knows what he wants to do, and he's going to go do it.
That was Riley's thing. Like the offense was all pro-style offense. Yeah, but what are you really trying to
do? What are you good at?
Yeah, like what are you really trying to do?
You're good at getting in third and 15 situations.
Yeah, and you're just going to just completely overlook this whole facet of offense called the running game. You're just going to – that's just not – you're just not going to do that.
It's five runs and we'll practice four of them.
Like, yeah, you're just not – you don't think that's a thing that you need to – what are you trying to do? You know, you just couldn't figure it out. Then you have Frost come in. It's like, no. This is our offense. It's this. I mean, there is no question who's in charge. There's no question what the offense is and is not. There's no question which type of players fit. Right? With Riley, you had no idea. Like, sure, big, yeah, bring in an NFL quarterback and that'll fit. Okay, great. Yeah, they're just running around. You know, bring in a guy at 6'4", 230 and is really smart, and then have him throw to 6'3", 210-pound receivers, and we're great. Like, okay, good luck with that, right? That's my style of offense. The identity I want is an NFL team. Like, okay, you're in college, dude. Like, what? That is not an identity. Frost has, you know when you see a short little fast guy?
He's getting the bubble screen and going the distance.
Well, you even know he has a spot in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
With some schools, that guy didn't have a spot. They're just like, I don't need the
great
five.
Athlete. How are we going to get him the ball?
Right.
Priority number one.
Yeah.
Get Wandale, get JD the football through the pass, through the run, through the return game.
5'9", 160. Here's your scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. They have a spot for you. They have definitions of what they want. Even on defense, we want length. How many people have you heard that from? I've never heard. We want a late, like, are you running a Syracuse 2-3 zone? What are you talking about? But it makes sense. And so who are they recruiting? Guys like Jamin Graham, who has like a 20-foot wingspan.
Right.
Right? Like, you know what you're trying to get.
Usually it's 7-foot wingspan, but I'll take 20.
Well, it's 20, roughly. It's just going to be like two him and another guy. They're going to like just play Red Rover on defense.
And like, clothesline the longest yard.
But, I mean, really. They have a defined thing that they're looking for. I never could figure out. Like, it's not enough to just be like, well, we want a good basketball player, a guy that can shoot the basketball and dribble it. Like, it's not enough. Like, what are you looking for?
Oh,
Hoiberg is looking
God.
For dudes that can gun it from three, dudes that can handle the ball, dudes that are in shape and are ready to run. His bigs, that's what he wants. He doesn't want a tree. Alex Maric would not have a spot in this offense.
No.
He wouldn't.
We're going to get to Mitch Sherman in the rewind. Brandon Vogel's coming up. He'll spend a little bit of time on his new mechanical Japanese pencil, but more so plenty of time on spring football. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp.
Oh, man, we're already at 7:30 and haven't even talked about football yet.
All right, we'll get to
I guess we did the parallels with Frost.
A little bit, yes. Mitch Sherman shortly. We do have a email coming in, Chris at HaleVarsity.com, and this is from our favorite insurance guy, Ben Bolte, who is a... I better not say that. He likes Duke.
Ah, okay.
So he is reminding me and those who like Green and the Schmidt family that Tom Izzo's career versus Coach K is 1-11. So I better walk back my Sparty may take out Duke.
Fair. But
Zion was, I mean, he's, what can you say about Zion? He was so much fun to watch last night.
Give me the coach, though, that is like 6-2 against Coach K. There isn't one, right?
Roy.
Well, he ain't 6-2.
Might be closer. They
look
play
that up.
38 times a year. Reminder about your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Spring is here. And after this harsh winter, there's a lot to get done outside. If you find yourself overdoing things or sustaining a nagging injury or there's just pain, the experts at Madonna Therapy Plus can help you get back outside and back to work faster. Visit us at one of the three convenient Lincoln locations or at Village Point in Omaha. Get scheduled today, MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. Three locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha, and get back and get back into action this spring season with Madonna and Madonna Therapy Plus. A quick timeout. Mitch Sherman, now of The Athletic. We love Mitch. Mitch's stuff on the Moose Miles decision. Mitch's story was very, very heartfelt. His time with Adrian Martinez and Madrian's family, which was really cool. He traveled out to California. So we'll talk with Mitch about that. It's on the way. Your weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
We welcome in with The Athletic. It is Mitch Sherman, at Mitch Sherman, on Twitter. Mitch, thanks for taking the time out for a really busy day. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to hear that new introduction. Sounds different, but
I appreciate
you having me on.
Well, you're awesome, man. We are extremely happy for you joining The Athletic. We thank you for all you did with us when you were with ESPN. But I'm slowly saying Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Mitch Sherman. Yep. So I've got it down. I will not fumble. I want to talk about.
I like the way it sounds, but good. I'm glad you're a professional.
I fake it. I want to get your thoughts here. You were at the press conference. We were back in studio. How did you read Bill Moose with this decision today? What was your takeaway from Nebraska's AD Bill Moose? Do you think he's still looking? Do you think he's got a guy in his back pocket? It didn't sound like it was real jovial, and you don't want it to be a happy time when you're firing somebody, but just a different tone than I've seen from Bill Moose.
Yeah, I read it the same way. Even when he fired Mike Riley, it wasn't that kind of a tone. He was more sullen. I think he was playing it close to the vest. I'm not taking at face value his words about the length of time he expects the coaching search to take. I think in this situation, you undersell and overdeliver. And if he comes out in 2 days and has a head coach, nobody's going to remind him, or nobody's going to call him on the carpet that he said here on Tuesday that he expects it would take at least a week. So it doesn't sound like he has his man completely delivered. If that was the case, I think you might have seen a different tone. I think you would have. But today was, what Bill Moose wanted today to be about. And it sounds like this would have happened yesterday if it had not been for Moose knowing that something was going on with Hank Bounds, the president of the university system. So he didn't want to do this on that day. So all of the speculation about how this thing was just dragging on too long, I think you have to take into perspective what happened yesterday at the university. So, but I'm with you on his mood. It was different from what I've heard. I'm not entirely sure what to make of it, but I think that he was just he came out today and said, I'm going to play this thing closer to the vest, certainly than he did in talking openly about Scott Frost when Mike Riley was fired after the 2017 football season.
Mitch Sherman's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. So, Mitch, a thought here on Moose and the Fred Hoiberg talking point. And what do you believe right now with Hoiberg? Is it just, hey, Fred's, we're just waiting on a yes, we're waiting on a signed document, he's waffling? Where do you think Nebraska is at with Hoiberg?
I think there's a lot more to it than what Moose said today. He said that they've talked, and he didn't know Hoiberg's interest at this point. I think Moose has got a better idea of what Hoiberg's interest is right now than he let on to the media and the public today, which is probably a good way for him to play it as long as he doesn't have a signed contract on his desk. And that's not really ever the case at this stage of the game. So, if that's his man and he's made him his number one target, and that's the guy that he's trying to lock up, to do it this way today was a good idea. You don't want to act overly confident. You don't want to trumpet, that there may be a move that's imminent. And if it happens and you can get it done, the sooner the better, then great. He can be jovial about that when the day comes to make that announcement.
Any thoughts with additional names on that list? We can speculate if you want. I know that I saw here before we joined up here at 5:06 that Dana was not contacted. I thought for sure right. Dana was reached out to, or I would, if I'm wearing the AD chair, man, I would have reached out to Dana Altman for sure. That wasn't the case, but who else is it a guy like Marshall? Is it a guy like Musselman? Who do you think else is in that locked top drawer in his desk?
His talk about the list was kind of funny. He was pressed on when he looked at the list and came back with it was clever. He came back with the line that he didn't really need to look at it because it's a short list and he remembers what it says on a list. So again, it was just more of him playing it coy. I don't know. Beyond the Hoiberg name has been so prominent in the discussions about who the next guy is going to be that there isn't really, you know, a number two choice at this point. In that sense, it's similar to what Nebraska went through in football. Now, it's not similar in the sense that, if Nebraska did not hire Scott Frost after the 2017 season, that was essentially a disaster. He was the one guy that they had to get. And I don't believe that to be the case here in basketball because the basketball program just isn't at a place historically that the football program is. They've already sunken to a level where, you know, frankly, you don't want to be, having never won an NCAA tournament game, the distinction of being the only Power 5 team out there not to have done that. So, you know, I don't know how you really go. You know, they've tried and not succeeded the last three times when they've gone out and hired a mid-major coach. So I don't know, you know, how you can be really in a spot where you know it's do or die. They've kind of already passed that point. So who else? What other name is there? I mean, you can just kind of start looking at, you know, guys who are, you know, hot names. You know, whether it's Greg Marshall or Johnny Dawkins or Tad Boyle. I don't have any kind of insight into who they might be looking at beyond Hoiberg. It was the only one that he confirmed that he'd spoken to. And I think right now you have to consider him the favorite for the job.
Well, and that's just it. It ain't over till it's over, and you got to get it. Let's go to Tim Miles for a minute. And saw the footage of Miles leaving Memorial Stadium. Pure class. Was as good as he's always been with the media. And let's kind of reminisce about Tim Miles for just a minute here. And how are you going to view his time in Lincoln?
Well, he had a couple of really high highs. I mean, that into the 2014 season, in the Wisconsin game. I mean, it seems a little over the top, I think, to still hold that game and that moment in such high regard when it was 5 years ago. But it was that good of a moment for Nebraska basketball. And if it had sprung them on to success in the NCAA tournament, if they had gone somewhere they had never been before as a result of that, you know, I think it would rank up there as one of the better moments in program history. And it probably still does just because of the emotion that was in the arena. Definitely the best moment that Nebraska's experienced in Pinnacle Bank Arena, you know, which is all in Tim Miles' tenure. There has not been another coach in that arena. So, you know, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember the disappointment, the huge disappointment of the year after that, the run that Nebraska made in the Big Ten a year ago, somewhat unexpectedly, and then, you know, the bottom falling out this year after Isaac Copeland was hurt. You know, I think, unfortunately, the emotional win over Iowa on Senior Day this year and the mini run that Nebraska made in the postseason is largely going to be a blip because it was a precursor directly to the coach losing his job. And really all had essentially been lost when Nebraska got to that point in the last regular season game of the year. It was a nice moment for those kids, for sure. I think the guys on the team will remember it. If you're Glenn Watson, you know, you're going to feel good about the way that your career ended, or James Palmer. But they had unfortunately gotten to a point where they could not really climb back on deck at that moment. And so I don't really think that you're going to remember, or I probably won't remember a huge amount about the way this year ended, even though it was a nice moment for the team.
Mitch Sherman's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Mitch, I want to switch gears off of Miles and Moose and get your take on Hank Bounds. What's your read into his resignation yesterday from a just overall impact with Nebraska athletically and academically?
Yeah, I mean, athletically, it's a loss for sure. I mean, Hank Bounds was more intimately involved with athletics as the president of a university system than I think in just about anybody who sat in that chair in recent history. I mean, other presidents certainly have been football fans and have come to games, but, you know, as Bill Moose said today, Hank Bounds was a guy who would go to practice, and, you know, he would know the names of recruits. And, you know, from remembering back to the hire of Scott Frost, you know, Hank was getting regular reports from Moose when he was on the road. So he was an advocate for sure for everything that happens in Husker athletics. But I don't think that his resignation was largely or perhaps at all related to anything that has to do with athletics, because the president of four campuses has a lot more on his plate than what is happening with a few teams here in Lincoln. And he's been in a struggle politically with the legislature for funding that's been well documented over the last few years. And, you know, that's not an easy position to be in as the leader of a university system. And it sounds like from what he said yesterday in his statement that it just got to be too much for him. And, you know, there's clearly frustration, and he's tired, and he wants to move on to something else. So, you know, again, much like what Bill Moose said today, you know, I'll take Hank Bounds' comments yesterday essentially at face value and, you know, wish him well down the road. And here's Nebraska sitting in a spot where it needs to find the person to whom everyone on every one of these campuses reports and probably want to do it you know, here in this calendar year, I'm sure.
Mitch Sherman with us, the Athletic, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, got about 3 minutes here, and really enjoyed your story on Adrian Martinez, his family, his deep dive by you for the Athletic with Adrian. What was your experience like talking with Adrian's dad and kind of shedding light on just how deep the story went with Adrian and his family and the loss of his mother?
Well, Adrian's dad and his stepmom are unique people. And if you've met Adrian, you know that he's a pretty unique guy himself for being 19 years old. There aren't a lot of 19-year-olds who carry themselves the way that he does. And it's a direct reflection on his dad, Tony Martinez, and his stepmom, Christy Martinez. I got to hang out with them and interview them, talk with them, have dinner with them last week in Clovis, California, outside of Fresno. And it's evident right away, you know, welcoming me into their home, you know, someone that they don't know, someone who could honestly, you know, portray them in whatever way, you know, I want. You know, do it in a way they did it in a way that was so cordial. So that has clearly rubbed off on Adrian. I think it makes him a better teammate. It makes him a better leader. It's so much of what appealed to the Nebraska coaches in recruiting him over a very short period of time after that 2017 season when they came in December. So, you know, in essentially all the stars aligned for him to get to Nebraska. And they did, and it's something already that's having a huge impact on Scott Frost's program.
He's a big-time player, and the maturity is wonderful. But just the ability here, about 90 seconds, Mitch, of Adrian's perseverance with the loss of his mom.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique story for sure. He was 10 years old when his mom, Deanna, died very quickly of cancer. And, you know, it's been a driving force for him. I think with some kids his age in that kind of a situation, it could be something that would really prevent them from being able to achieve some of the success that he has and that he did achieve back in California before he got to Nebraska. You know, that would be something that, you know, that grief, you know, he used it as a motivating force. And, you know, he's got her initials tattooed on his wrist. He did that in Lincoln a year ago over spring break, something that he thought about. I mean, who's it? Where's an 18-year-old kid? Tell me, find me another 18-year-old kid who thought for years about getting a tattoo of his the initials like that and then did it. You know, like I said to Adrian, a lot of your teammates are probably going out on a Friday night and deciding to get a tattoo.
Right.
And that's fine. He thought about it for years, and he said it's the only one he'll ever have. Mm. And, you know, you can see in his eyes and hear in his voice when he talks about that, you know, how much it means to him to continue to make her proud and his dad proud and his stepmom proud and his family proud with the way that he carries himself and his actions as a college student athlete.
It's Mitch Sherman with The Athletic, Hale Varsity Radio. At Mitch Sherman's where you follow him. Mitch, great to get caught up today. Congrats on your move to The Athletic. And we'll talk next week, bud. Appreciate the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, take care.
Early to rise with Hale Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Wanted that hour one, Hale Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranack, Colton Stone. Give us a follow on Twitter. Can tweet at us at Mark Skurs for Mark Kranack, at Two Birds, One Stone, Colton Stone, at Schmidt _ Radio. Brandon Vogel, 10 minutes away. A lot of spring football thoughts and kind of an upbeat, impressed, dare I say happy, Scott Frost. And I'm not saying he's not happy, but he was really impressed with how his kids came back this week after spring break. I was worthless the week after I got back from spring break.
I've been worthless in the decades since.
Right.
Yeah. Like
Colton's been performing at a high level after getting back from Dallas.
Well, you know, mainlining Whataburger is going to help you.
Right. Versus all the Cuervo you can.
Yeah. No, hammer. It's impressive, man. It's player accountability. Players leading the team has been a thing that's been missing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that essentially said, you know, part of that story.
There's talk and there's action.
Yeah. Well, and there was Damian Jackson who called before they go back to practice, a players only workout.
Mm-hmm. Sunday.
Right. Before they all came and everybody went and man, that stuff it sounds like just kind of off season fodder stuff, but that stuff matters in the end, man.
It does. And it's been a storyline every spring for the last 15 springs, but it seems and feels a little more authentic and believable with Coach Frost providing the suggestion for the team. All right, this is your team. How do you want it to go? Do you want to be hungover and take 7 steps back Monday? Or what are you guys going to do about it to make sure everyone comes back? We'll spend some time with that on next hour's part of Hale Varsity Radio. Brandon Vogel will chime in. Gary Sharp coming up. Reminder, it's time to buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags aren't enough. Do you want it to be the seatbelt or the windshield that stops your forward momentum? Seatbelts prevent extensive injury when you're in your vehicle. Whether it's in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Timeout. Hour 2 with Hale Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hale Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranack.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2, at Hale Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Mark Kranack shortly. My Lord, it's a record. Welcome in Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. You had the shot clock on there, pal. And good. You're good now?
Good. I've been good.
Good. You're always good.
Yeah.
Can read him every morning with hot reads.
Just a regular morning.
Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Get his book with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, how many years has this week felt like for you?
it's been a long one. We started out kind of waiting for the news that I think most people expected to come and had to wait a little bit longer than that.
So I think that kind of started us off on the wrong foot. So then the time was warped, and then I'm still catching up at this point.
Time was warped.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You've been watching Iowa State stuff or Fred Hoiberg coaching stuff or reading up on him lately, researching him a little more closely than just kind of watching him from afar?
A little bit, you know, going back and looking at some of those seasons, and statistically, Jacob Padilla did a great write up, kind of looking at what Iowa State, not just what Iowa State was, but what wins in the Big Ten. That went up yesterday on HailVarsity.com. I encourage anyone to check that out. It's a pretty great look. But you know, it's when Bill Moose says that he enjoys offense, you know, it's kind of interesting that he mentioned that both in football and basketball now, the idea of like, hey, there's some improvement that needs to happen here. But while that improvement's happening, I want to entertain the fan base with some offense and point totals, which seems like a fairly simple idea. But he appears to be really committed to it, because when I've gone back and looked at that's kind of what Iowa State was under Hoiberg. They put some points on the board. You know, you watch that North Carolina Auburn game last night. They're both kind of offense first teams, and you got to be good at something, as Jacob put it in his story. And Nebraska was just too middle of the road in all things.
Defense is extremely important, and that's not forgotten about with Hoiberg teams, nor is it forgotten about with the Central Florida teams and the Scott Frost team in Nebraska. But clearly, from an identity and a priority, I mean, offense is what they want to be known for. Hoiberg's known for his offense and the tempo and the three-point shot in basketball. I love that. And I think that's how you're going to get difference-making players in the recruiting game. That said, the old defense wins championships mantra is still around and on T-shirts for a reason. Can you win? Can your offense be so much better that it doesn't matter what defense you're facing? Can Nebraska corner the market in both sports on that?
I don't know if corner the market. I mean, I think it's about how good your strength really is. And it's kind of interesting from a theoretical perspective, because you know, this is in the book, but Coach Cook would say that, you know, he's kind of built his program on defense, and passing is also a key part of that, which is a key part of defense. But because of, you know, if you can play really singular defense and come up against a really singular offense, the offense might eventually run out of answers, whereas with defense just has to continue reacting at a high level. And you know, I think there's some real truth to that. Now we see all sorts of counter examples of teams in a variety of sports that win with a ton of offense. So ultimately it comes down to, you know, strength versus strength. If you've got one of those kind of classic matchups of opposites, so how well can you execute what you're going to do? And I think that we see in across sports, a trend towards more offense of late.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, it and what you want to execute, what Hoiberg wants to execute, it's a fairly intricate offense, right? Like, it is as much as Scott Frost has a system on offense, and there's no question that it is a system in every sense of the word, I see the same thing with Hoiberg on offense. Like, what does he do that's maybe a little bit different?
Yeah, you know, I haven't taken a deep enough look to feel great about what I know there. I'm kind of interested to see, you know, what it looks like after some time in the NBA. I mean, obviously he played in the NBA, yeah. So it probably influenced his whole approach from the start when he got into the college game. But because I think in college, unless you're going to recruit at a super high level in college basketball, and maybe not even then, you know, you've got to have some sets and some things that you know you can do really well. It's no different than football on that front, other than that the game, you know, is more real time in basketball, involves less play-to-play planning, of course. To win at a place like Nebraska, I think you've got to be able to have some of that unless you're just going to recruit and roll some guys out there and say, hey, go make plays. But that's a pretty risky strategy in my mind. So I think that part of what Hoiberg can bring is pretty important.
I found in a deep search, I found somebody did a 9-minute cut up of Iowa State's offensive sets from one of his last years. And it's just play after play after play after play. The thing that jumps out, Brandon, I'm just curious your comments on this. Ball movement is at a premium. Space is at a premium. They do a ton of that handoff stuff that Golden State does, right? Where it's not just passing the ball, but you're handing off, which puts the defense in a quandary because do you go under that? Do you switch on it? It causes issues. And they get shots off early in the clock with regularity. The other thing I noticed, too, was their bigs on defensive rebounds are sprinting the floor. they're sprinting. They're not just kind of walking up. And then you see the results. I mean, Hoiberg's last three Iowa State teams were all 80-plus points per game. It's so intriguing because, Brent, I can't think of the last time outside of Collier's little foray into the Princeton offense, where there has not been an offensive system at Nebraska that I've ever seen outside of that.
Yeah, it is different. I was thinking about that the other day. If Hoiberg ends up being the hire, and it still seems like that's probably the most likely outcome here, it's the first time where you kind of know going in, oh, Nebraska's going to do that.
Yeah.
You think back to Tim Miles, who had a really good resume and people knew him for his personality and getting Colorado State to the tournament and, working his way up the ladder in the North, small time basketball and taking some small time programs, transitioning to Division I. Here, you can actually kind of focus on, okay, here's how Nebraska is going to attack teams. And it feels somewhat similar to Frost in that regard. Not that we didn't, we look at football a different way, but when you're running a pro-style offense, I mean, that's still a really hard term to even define. And it probably doesn't mean a whole lot now, given the way the NFL has gone. So it's interesting to be able to really hone in and focus on, here's how they like to do things. And I think it's an advantage.
Brandon Vogel's with us. A few minutes here. Weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, with spring football, what story or player stuck out to you most this week with the coverage from Hail Varsity and some of the video? Adrian Martinez, Darian Daniels, or Lamar Jackson?
I'm glad the one who jumped to mind was in there. I thought Wednesday was kind of a packed week in terms of what was in the quotes that came out of that practice. Starting with Coach Frost, you had the talk about competition, which, yeah, is one of those things where it's kind of easy to gloss over a little bit. Of course they want it, but it struck me as sort of a tiered approach, as if that's a little bit more of the focus now, this spring football than it was last year. I'm actually writing about that a little bit for tomorrow. So that jumped out to me. And the reason I chose Lamar is he kind of backed that up, with one of his comments about how, yeah, we want to come to practice now.
Yes.
It's fun. And we know we're coming to compete, and it's not just something we have to do. And I'm putting words in his mouth. He didn't say these words verbatim, but my impression of it was that, it's not just something we've got to go do to get ready for the season ahead. We want to go now because it's fast paced. There's music. It's fun. You got all that stuff kind of in the mix last spring. And now you can really hone in now we're going to compete. We're going to have more competition periods, and we want you guys to win, and we want you to be upset when you lose. And it strikes me very much as the next step in this overall install, I guess, for lack of a better term, that's now going on in second year.
You know, it's the nuances of what you're talking about is so interesting because, you know, I remember Bo Pelini would always say, we're going to compete in everything we do. Mike Riley's staff, we're going to compete in everything, right? So, like, everybody says it. But Frost, when he says it, there's so much more credibility. And do you think maybe that's it to where it's like, you can see why somebody would roll their eyes and, oh, okay, they're competing now. What, they weren't before? Like, what? You're like,
there's a seriousness to it.
You're like, no, they really are competing. No, they're really doing strength and conditioning. It's just that credibility component that he brings, right? The intensity?
It is, and I think maybe the difference there is, and you know, this was years ago, so I might just be forgetting things or misremembering them, but hearing it then from the players, like, you know, we've talked about this before. It's always a good sign when you kind of hear the same voice or some of the same words from everyone. It's a sign that things are taking a little bit. And Lamar Jackson, you know, going into last spring, probably would not have been the guy I would have chosen to say what he said on Wednesday. So we'll see. I think he's poised to have a pretty good year and seems to have taken to, you know, it didn't happen immediately by any means, but taken to what the staff's telling him. So when you start to hear, yes, all coaches are going to say, yep, we're going to compete and we want winners. But when you start to hear the players say the same thing and kind of show that they're embracing it, I think that might be what lends it a little bit more credibility, in addition to the fact that, well, this staff at an early stage has been very successful.
You know, and it's funny, Coach Riley would always say, too, he wanted a player-led team also, right? I mean, he did. Like, he made that
different ways about going about it and installing that leadership.
Right. Is maybe the difference here that Frost, so same thing, wants guys to compete, wants to have a players-led culture. Frost has focused on the details to give the players the tools to make that happen. Whereas Riley just sort of hoped it happened, right? Like, do you think maybe that's part of it too, is that Frost is sort of diabolically planning?
He just knows.
More things? Like, you know, like has a specific plan for specific aspects, more so than most human beings that call themselves head coaches.
Yeah, I think there's a key confidence in the instruction the players are getting piece to this that you really have to implement early on, in that so a new coach shows up anywhere in the country, if the guys aren't like they're not going to see results right away, at least not the results that they want. They will sometimes, they'll have some failures and you'll work through that. But if you see the coaches believe that, like, hey, this is our way and this is why we do it this way and it works, then it's a lot easier for the players to say, okay, we've been taught how to do this the right way. These guys believe in it. And we can then take that and hold ourselves accountable, because I do think you've got to have that part of it. You want the players to hold themselves accountable and be accountable to one another, because, you know, it just extends the reach of the coaching staff effectively. But also it allows that coaching staff to really then be attuned to where they need to tweak things and what changes they need to make and be thinking ahead a little bit instead of thinking backwards and saying, why isn't this taking yet? So I think that's a really important part.
You know, I look at Coach Frost and who he learned under and what he took from everybody and his relationship with Coach Osborne. And I want to – people that have worked for Coach Osborne – and played for Coach Osborne, the one thing they'll say is, like, T.O. never told you to do something, right? He didn't just command it. He would suggest things. I mean, it's about the approach. Brandon, clean your room. Hey, Brandon, would you like to maybe pick up? You got company coming over. I'm just imagining that was said to you at some point. I know it's going to be said to Junior in about an hour. But it makes all the difference in the world. And just listening to Lamar, man, about spring break. And I know that's been fawned over and, wow, they came back locked in and it was a great practice and it's not lip service. I mean, the coach's body language was, like, different, you know, on Monday. They were they were impressed. They were happy. They were pleased with like the maturity and the decision that the guys made to come back and put the beer in rum down early in the spring break process and come back and really focus in on football. The fact that Frost is talking to his, dare I say, council about how do you want this team to be, suggesting what are you guys going to do about it, that form of leadership with Frost to his guys, those group of dudes that are helping kind of dictate policy with the team, really paid off. I mean, from Damian Jackson to Lamar Jackson to Stoll to Adrian to some of the offensive linemen to some of the defensive guys with Barry. I mean, that is really cool to see. And Nebraska's not had that level, Vogues, of accountability for a while. They got to go win ball games, but this is a major first step, and it's the power of suggestion, you know?
Yeah, it is. And I think it takes you, you know, you've got to be really organized, and you have to, if you can stack some results on top of it, to be able to earn that is not an easy thing or a given by any means. You know, there's just, when you look at Coach Osborne, and his sort of quiet confidence and everything, and you see the same from Frost, and you could put Bill Walsh in this category too, as a guy who was sort of ultra prepared, who had really spent the time, not just coaching football, but like thinking about how to do it and why you're going to do it certain ways. And you know, Frost, those are two college coaches he played for. He was exposed to a ton of great coaches in the NFL. You know, you don't want to take it for granted, but at the same time, you're like, if there's a guy who could have gotten that message, it would have been him. And when you have that, you know, I think there's so much that comes down to a coach's confidence in what they're trying to teach and what they're trying to do. And Nebraska players, it seems certainly this week, are finding that and responding to it.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Kind of crazy to think there's only, a couple weeks left in spring ball. You're
2 weeks from today.
Yeah, you've hit the halfway point. You got the spring game coming up. Let's talk quarterback a little bit. Now, we know what we have in Adrian Martinez. We don't need to go into that. And when I say we, I wasn't saying we as in I consider myself part of Nebraska. All right?
You worked hard to get him here, Mark. I appreciate it.
Vogues has sat down with Mario. We can say we. We have Vogues on.
Yeah, but you know who I'm a little, I guess, surprised that we hear so little about? And I think what we've seen of him has been, you know, on the scale, sort of disappointing, right? You're just sort of like, I'm not really. Vedrill. Right? Like, kind of ballyhooed local kid, was a backup to Mackenzie Milton, comes in, and in the few times we've seen him, hasn't inspired a ton, but yet he's right there. Like, where do you, how do you take where he is or isn't in the pecking order here?
Yeah, you know, so we've kind of gone from Adrian and then jumped straight to Luke McCaffrey, which by all accounts, it sounds like Luke McCaffrey is not just the new guy and the famous family name. Like he's earning the mentions that he gets. I kind of take it as a pretty good sign for Vedrill at this point. I mean, yeah, it would be interesting to hear, hey, he had a really great day today. And he probably has, but it just hasn't come up for whatever reason. But he's kind of the key piece to this, I think. I expect him to probably take that backup job. I don't think that's too far out on the limb by any means. But and if Nebraska has that, like it's such a better feeling than where they were at last year, particularly early in the season when Adrian went down. Because with Vedrill, you've got a guy who's been in this offense now for 3 years. Like I think you can run everything you want to run. We haven't seen a ton of it. You know, his backup stints at UCF were pretty good. And now those games were in much different places than, well, I guess the Bethune-Cookman game was that way a little bit too, but he was his first chance to play some live football, really. So I don't know. I'm not hitting the panic button on him yet. I'm not saying you were, Mark. It's interesting that doesn't come up more often, but I'm taking it for now as, okay, we know what that is. He's good. We're in a good spot if we have to go there.
Vogues, what's coming up with you for Hail Varsity this weekend, bud?
Yeah, so as mentioned, I'll be writing something for tomorrow, a little bit about that, sort of some of the things that Frost said on Wednesday, I guess the best way to put it, which I took is really interesting. We'll have baseball from Minnesota, of course, and kind of laying the groundwork for, you know, we built up to the start of spring football, and now we're getting ready to build up to the spring game, really. So you've got a couple of key practices here where I think some things are going to shake out to the degree that they ever can at the end of spring football and start talking about what we're looking to see and hoping to see in the spring game here pretty soon.
There'll also be mayoral coverage next week.
Hopefully. We've got a whole we've got a key to the city. I mean, we're ready to go. We need a mayor.
I sent you the 9-minute cut up so you can act like a coach and watch it too. So check it out. But just quickly, I found that on a deep search where I ended up on a Chicago Bulls blog. Get the name of this blog. Pippin Ain't Easy.
Wow.
I was like, yes! I was like, that is so perfect.
Love it.
Pippin Bugs, ain't easy.
I love it. Thanks so much, Brandon, for this morning, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Dude, I loved watching the Bulls.
I love WGN. The fact that a dude started a blog called Pippin Ain't Easy.
That's pretty good.
But it's necessary.
Chris Schmidt, Mark Crane at Colton Stone. Our old buddy Jeff Goodman just tweeting out a little bit ago, deal between Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg could be wrapped up as soon as today.
This is tweeted 12 minutes ago, and Jeff Goodman is who?
Jeff Goodman is the national college basketball writer for Stadium Sports.
What the hell is Stadium Sports?
He was one of the main guys with ESPN.com.
He has 244,000 followers,
well,
so
Jeff,
yes.
Jeff Goodman was on our show about a month ago when he did the Fred, excuse me, I just screwed that up, when Fred Hoiberg was mentioned in the Tim Miles podcast.
Mm.
He did the podcast, the Good and Plenty podcast, so Jeff Goodman. So we'll probably try and get Jeff on this week.
So when he says wrapped up as soon as today.
Yeah, which means.
Is there an emergency press conference?
They won't have it during the NCAA tournament because you got Sparty. You have Sparty and Duke playing tomorrow.
Well, okay, so why wouldn't you take advantage of that stage?
Because he's not going to want to leave Washington, D.C. when his kid's playing in the Elite Eight.
Well, can't you announce it anyway? Do you have to have Fred Hoiberg physically in Lincoln?
What you can do.
Or can he just roll up with a Michigan State shirt and then a Nebraska hat and give peace signs as they...
What you can do is have a statement put out or have the national folks or local start scurrying that Fred Hoiberg is your new coach. Have that statement out, and then have the presser Monday, and then have him at the Final Four next week.
I haven't bought this all this crap about how he's not going to say it because his son, his walk-on son that hardly ever plays, and the rumors are already out there anyways.
But he doesn't want to be a distraction to Coach Izzo.
How is that a distraction to Coach Izzo?
Because you're not talking about Michigan State and where they're at. It's a player that I know plays sparingly, but he was already cornered and talked about in Des Moines last weekend, right? I mean, he wants to give it a little distance here. No, it's all setting up. So that's from Jeff Goodman. Reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman.
One carat
diamond solitaire ring is yours for just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee. Per day, if you think about it, maybe it's time for that new ring. Maybe it's time for an upgrade. And Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman can make that happen. One carat diamond solitaire, man, that is phenomenal. And it is all affordable for you when it comes to financing. And it is perfect time of the year to do it. Spring is finally here. Maybe wedding bells are in the future. Or maybe it's time to just upgrade some of her bling collection. Three locations for you with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln. Or out west, your friends in Grand Island. Log on today, sauterheyman.com. So we have Lars Anderson sticking by his report and kind of calling his shot. You have Woj yesterday. Discussions continue. Now you have Jeff Goodman this morning on Twitter. The things could be wrapped up as soon as today between Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg. Let's head to the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp is next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out. Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, we've held off on the absolute martinis this morning, but if things proceed per Jeff Goodman's tweet, there'll be some drinks poured tonight in celebration. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, on Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Sharpie, have you or would you do the Coach Duvall challenge that apparently Darian Daniels failed, and that's to have a rather large breakfast before a workout?
No, see, that's a rookie move there. You have to know what you're getting into. And so you have to prepare your body accordingly before you take on the brunt of that abuse.
Slam 20 ounces of milk.
I don't know. The
milk was a bad choice.
I don't know how much Darian ate, but it was a good little breakfast, as he told us. And then it wasn't. It was a bad ending. But we'll get to Hoiberg and Goodman and Woj and all of that in just a moment. But you know what? This had a more of an authentic feel of commitment, is the best way to put it, right? The week back after spring break, I want to start with some spring football, man. And yeah, Darian Daniels being propped up, and it's pretty cool to hear what he's brought to the defensive line. Adrian. And then you had Lamar Jackson, proud papa, right? I mean, he's a different dude. I mean, it feels like the culture shaping continues to be molded appropriately here by Frost, and now the guys are doing it as peer versus peer.
Well, I think that there's a couple of really important things that you got insight into after spring break. You know, that Monday practice is always kind of intriguing to me because guys don't want to lose their spot, and they don't want the coaches to know that maybe they slacked off during spring break, so they're probably going to exert a little bit more. It's the second practice that you always go, okay, now this is where we really see where we're moving along during spring, and you heard after practice how good Wednesday was. And I think you're starting to see it. I've said this with you guys. I think they're a little bit ahead. You know, year two is the breakthrough, and Scott's always said at UCF, they're a great team. They broke through that second fall camp. I think this team is a little bit ahead of schedule because now you're starting to see self-policing of Damian Jackson getting on guys, other guys taking leadership. I mean, Darian Daniels is a treat. And I know it's kind of recency bias because he was both court the other day. But here's a guy in 4 short months has come in, and because of the way he has worked off the field and on the field, he has gained respect, and he's very likable. I mean, you have a defensive lineman who's going to play an important role this year, could maybe be a captain, and then you've got the best player on your team, a quarterback, who is respected and liked. I think there's a lot of little nuggets that are very encouraging for Nebraska moving forward. But one quick observation, now that we start with Daniels, is credit to Zach Duvall and his staff. Nebraska is starting to look like a Big Ten team in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, I'm curious, Gary, when you look at Nebraska's title teams, when you look at UCF in 2017, Frost last year, like, even the championship teams get really tested, and you got to have stuff go your way, right? Like, it's not like you're just going to trot out.
It's not 95.
You know, and Nebraska had the instance last year against Michigan where they were thoroughly outclassed. Do you believe, based on what you just said about how they're probably ahead of where they even thought they would be at this stage, are the days of getting outclassed over?
I think so. I think just getting physically manhandled, where you run over, guys have deer in the headlight look, I think are over. Because I also think it's over from the coaching staff perspective. Guys, they got a big wake-up call going through the Big Ten. I think they respected the Big Ten, but then, and they knew what they were getting into with their current roster last year. I think they thought that they could scheme some things and have things go their way. And then they saw Michigan and Wisconsin up close, and that didn't go so well. So I think last year, that turn through the league will benefit in a lot of different ways. But you're right. You got to have a bounce here or there, even during good seasons. Because look at last year, a bounce at Northwestern, even a bounce at Ohio State, how things could have changed. But when we're gonna get to the summertime and start looking towards 2019, I think we're all going to say, as much as it was unfortunate to start the year 0-6, you didn't have any false victories in there for guys to go, okay, it's going. You had to work to get to your 4-2 in your last six. So I think there's a lot of development and a lot of introspective that you're going to hear through the course of the rest of the spring of how guys look at themselves in the offseason, where their coaches are players, how they've adjusted here in the spring to take that step forward so that when they show up in the fall, it's full go. There's no training wheels. It's ready to go to get ready for South Alabama.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, the Iron Horse. And Sharpie, let's spend a minute or two here on the week of Hoiberg and also the week of Miles and Moose, and just kind of get your takeaway. I know you've worked in the past with Tim Miles and done some outreach stuff in the community, and I'm interested to kind of get your read on Moose. We haven't had a chance to talk to you this week yet, so the presser, the body language of Moose, a reflection on Tim for a second, and then, you know, is Jeff Goodman's tweet something that will come to fruition tonight as far as things finally getting done with Fred? That's a big list there, but start unpacking for me.
Well, let's start with when this all unfolded. And, you know, Tim, first and foremost, is a good man who has treated everyone really well and has been a great representative of the university. And Tim had to come in. I continue to say this. The scoreboard didn't matter when T.O. hired him. 7 years later, Tim got the program to where it mattered. And Tim sold the program nonstop, 24/7, 365. Loved being the basketball coach in Nebraska. Loved him and his family living in the city of Lincoln in the state of Nebraska. And he sold that well. He took all of us on being the kind of coach that Nebraska needed in basketball, where consistently you were making progress, guys were developing, and you were making a run to the ultimate goal right now to win an NCAA tournament game. And a good man who fell short, and Bill Moose, who, you know, Bill Moose and his football hire raised expectations. His basketball hire was that Hoiberg's going to raise expectations. Bill Moose has got a gigantic ego, but he's hiring two stars that are going to be bigger than him. Why? Because Bill Moose is competitive. He wants to win. And I think this all started to unfold, you know, about the middle of January when things start to go downhill. And, you know, Moose started to think, okay, what do we got to do here? Well, the number one free agent out there is Fred Hoiberg. You start connecting the dots to his connections to Nebraska, his love of Nebraska football. He's a guy that doesn't have a team. He starts discussions, and I think those discussions got rolling over a month. You know, got in to see the facilities, got a lot more lay of the land. And I think I'm going to peg probably about the Friday before the Iowa game, the final regular season game. I think that's when the discussion got really, really serious, and they started to pick up, and they went at Fred's pace with a thing that he was doing, and then, of course, with his son playing at Michigan State, following Michigan State play. And Bill Moose is going to finish this, and he's going to get Fred Hoiberg. It'll be the first time in a long time where Nebraska's hiring a men's basketball coach, or for that matter, a coach that's got the kind of resume that Hoiberg will come in with, and there'll be a lot of excitement. Next year's going to be a little bit rough. I mean, that roster isn't great. I don't care if Fred brings 15 transfers. It's still going to be a rough transition next year. But the enthusiasm will remain there, and it will pick up, and the expectations definitely have been raised. I'm just waiting for all those national hosts that told all Nebraska fans or people that cover Nebraska basketball, don't to raise your expectations. Because you know what? You hire Fred Hoiberg, it immediately brings credibility to your program, and the chance that Nebraska will eventually get to that goal of winning an NCAA tournament game.
You know, if it wasn't for Tim Miles getting fired, and if it wasn't for Hoiberg being rumored, and if it wasn't for spring football starting up again, Hank Bounds would have been a bigger topic.
And exactly. Gotta love Hank. We love Hank.
Yeah. What does that mean going forward, Gary?
Well, you're absolutely right, Mark, because I said the other day on my show, you know, you tell people that are not from here that you do, in my case, 20 hours of sports talk a week, they're like, do you have enough stuff to talk about? And then I point to the other day when Hank Bounds stepped down. Great guy who ran into some frustrations of trying to get the university to where he wants it to be, where tuition is not sky high, that they can make progress. And I think seeing his budgets just hatcheted by people above him, people in power, finally got to him and he got worn out. It's a big loss for Nebraska athletics because the football president loved athletics. He realized that the athletics could be the front door to the university, and he pushed that. And he had a genuine interest in the student-athlete. I mean, how many times do we see him on the field before games talking to recruits?
Yeah.
I mean, and he knows their names, so he follows it. But it's a significant loss. And, you know, he was a guy that when decisions had to be made of whether retaining somebody or not, he was kind of the final say, with always in mind of moving Nebraska forward, and especially in the athletics department. So it's a significant loss for athletics, but I think it's a significant loss for people that are associated with the whole University of Nebraska system. And, you know, you kind of hope that the way things were moving with Hank in terms of athletics, that the next president also has a football president or somebody that doesn't walk away from athletics but realizes how important athletics is to the whole university experience.
Yeah. Hank was such a great blend, right? Because he's a football coach, and Moose said the guy was Hank's a jock, and it was really nice to have a president that got athletics, knew how important it was, Gary, but also could handle the university system. And I mean, his goal from day one when he got brought in 2014 to keep the brightest and the best, but also go get the brightest and the best for the different colleges around the state. I mean, he wanted an all-star lineup of professors and administrators and researchers. And I agree with you when it comes to the funding thing, man. You just eventually you get sick of beating your head against the wall, don't you?
Yeah, and when you if that's out of your control, and there's only so much you can do. And he said it. He's worn out, and that's unfortunate to hear from him, because there's a guy that has a motor that goes 365, 24/7, with the University of Nebraska in mind of making it better every single day. So it's a loss for Nebraska. I don't think it had any impact on the men's basketball decision. I know people lost their mind. They're like, what is Bruce waiting for? Well, he handled it like he should. There was a lot of respect on both sides. And if there's one thing through this whole situation, this whole season of men's basketball, and then towards the end where guys kept fighting and they kept their season alive, is Tim Miles is probably one of the only people that could handle this situation like he did. With a smile on his face, you know, because in the back of his mind, he knows what's going on, and he knows what's going on. The way he handled it and now the transition, I think is ideal for Nebraska. And, you know, you look at it, the school up the road, you're going to hire somebody who... Oh, interesting. Hoiberg will have in his career replaced Greg McDermott and replaced Tim Miles, but a guy that has a better resume for the first time in a while than the guy that's coaching at Creighton. Do we dare say for 20 years all of the Jaysker talk, people that were Nebraska football fans, but Nebraska basketball hasn't been good, they started to follow Creighton basketball, that Fred Hoiberg brings people back to Nebraska basketball?
Yeah, Gary.
It's big.
Gary, and he lights up the scoreboard too, man. I've been dorking out on YouTube just trying to, you know, like there's those terrible like coaching DVDs and stuff, and people have put up clips of that. But he runs a real system. And it's just sort of like, wow, imagine
there's an offensive
that. Like,
identity with points and shooters.
Like, imagine.
His last 3 years at Iowa State, they averaged over 80 points all 3 years. The one thing he also does, and I've gotten to know Fred a little bit. I've talked to Fred probably in about a year, but I've gotten to know him from his time at Iowa State and a little bit in the NBA. He's a guy that has taken borderline players and he's developing into NBA prospects. Mm-hmm. He's a very good talent evaluator. You're probably going to see on his staff a good friend of his, who Fred Hoiberg was in his wedding, who is now at St. John's, but Matt Abdel-Massi was with him with the Minnesota Timberwolves as a video coordinator. Fred took him from Minnesota down to Iowa State and then tried to take him to Chicago with the Bulls. Matt said, nah. He went back to St. John's to work at his alma mater, which he called his dream job. I would imagine that he's going to join the staff. And don't be surprised if Fred, because kind of his M.O., has a veteran presence on the bench, whether it be a former Division I basketball coach, former Division II with Lanky, Division One assistant coaching experience, to be a veteran guy on that bench. You know, there's a Tim Floyd and a Doc Sadler in the past that could possibly be joining Fred and Lincoln. I'm not saying either one of those, but I think somebody like that will be on his bench as well. But he'll have a really good recruiting staff, and you'll see that Fred is a good talent evaluator, and most importantly, people at Iowa State will tell you, a very good in-game coach, which Nebraska desperately needs.
Sharpie, it's you just nailed his staff, that as far as just the pieces to that staff to make the whole thing go around. Last thought, and if you don't want to hit this, that's fine, but timeline-wise, what's the most pop? Yes, the name's going to be phenomenal, and it's going to be really good from a showcase standpoint, similar to Frost, right, when he was announced, and the fallout you got publicity-wise from it. But what does Nebraska do here strategically if Fred moves forward and says, yeah, I'm in? Do you announce today and then have him showcased at the Final Four? Or
Nope.
What do you do?
Nope, you do it well. Go ahead, Gary. Go.
Well, because he'll be in D.C. tomorrow. I think it gets wrapped up today officially. And then I think either Monday or Tuesday in Lincoln you have an announcement. We all get to go to the third floor. And, you know, you announce the new men's basketball coach. And then I think people like to say, hey, go to the Final Four and win the lobby. That's not necessarily the case, because Fred is a guy that likes familiarity. Remember, he's got to get going right away. He's been out of the college game for a while. So people that he's hired, he probably already thought about this, that they're familiar to him, that they don't have to exchange information. He knows their strengths so that they can hit the ground running. He'll go to the Final Four, but you know that'll be more for finding support staff. But I think Fred's staff will have a lot of connections to him, because he's been away from the college game for a while, and he's got to get going right away with decision. And probably the most important decision will be picking Isaiah Roby's brain to see, do you want to put your name in to see where they think of you? But we'd love to have you back if you fit our system, because this is what I can do for you. And remember, this is what I've done for guys at Iowa State that got to the NBA, and I've seen what it takes to be in the NBA after coaching with the Bulls and with the and being with the Timberwolves.
Thomas Allen, too, by the way.
Yeah, T.A.B.
He actually fits.
I think Thomas, whether Tim was going to be the coach or not, that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
He has a chance to retain him, though, because Thomas Allen thrives in a Hoiberg-type system. He really does. He's a good outside shooter, good ball handler. Perfect. That's what he wants.
Sharpie, enjoy the madness, man. We'll get caught up next week. Thanks for the input.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Gary.
There he is, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp.
Now, here's where I'm going. All right, you got Michigan State, Duke tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
That is the last time that you can guarantee Michigan State is going to get some airtime, which means it's the last time you can guarantee Hoiberg will be a story. You don't wait till the Final Four. Final Four, Michigan State's not in. They're not doing that story. He's not going to get a second of coverage. Nebraska basketball will not even be talked
about. So strategically
tomorrow
tonight, you announce tonight and you talk about Fred tomorrow.
Even if you don't introduce him.
Yeah.
He'll get airtime.
Love it. All right, back at you on Monday. Thanks so much with Hail Varsity Radio.